We have 5:45 in the morning. Zach Wycheck here training on mornings. He's becoming our third. We got going to have three quarterbacks we could all call on for Mark to head out at some particular point and leave Jason behind to continue to pass me in days worked for 2021, I guess. Good morning, Jason Gantz.
We've been giving
you the days off that I'm off, so that's, you know, better.
Yeah, I suppose it's like when my technicians at work take the day off when I take the day off, is you allow me to have the day off now, which is kind of nice. So.
Yeah. You've earned it after almost two full years. All right. So the rise and fall of Mark of Mars Hill and Pastor Mark Driscoll, who I think is pastoring in Scottsdale, Arizona these days, but this has been quite a lot of focus and attention. And I saw you on social media. Had heard the final installment, and so I've listened to many of them, but I had not heard. So, and you even wrote on it yesterday, so I wanted to give you the platform to share, to bring us up to speed a little bit.
Yeah, so the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill talks about this church out in Seattle that many people may be familiar with, called Mars Hill. It was pastored by a guy named Mark Driscoll. It over 12 episodes, each one lasting about an hour. I think the last couple of them were 2.5 hours apiece.
Wow.
Told the story of what happened there. And, it's probably, technically one of the best, podcasts I've listened to. It really draws in. But the last one was titled Aftermath, and it kind of talked about what has been some of the fallout after this church really just kind of fell apart. There was a lot of church conflict, a lot of what was described as kind of narcissistic abuse on the part of Mark Driscoll, and just a lot of leaders who served with him and their reactions, how they're making sense of the world at this point, how they're making sense of the church. And, you know, there have been a lot of different reactions that people have had. I think I was so drawn in. I was a big Mark Driscoll fan for a long time. And, you know, I would pick up his books and read them and listen to his sermons. And, and I had a friend ask yesterday, you know, why, you know, or you know, what do you think it was that drew you in? And I don't really have a good answer for that. Just a lot of arrogance on the part of how he interacted and kind of an increased sense of his own self-importance. And for me, really what came to play was feeling a lot of the same thing. Those who have left the Mars Hill church, asking questions of myself about how well am I loving others? How have I manipulated others, even in the name of Jesus? And so for me, it really stirred me a lot yesterday. It's definitely worth listening to. I think people will feel emotionally stirred in listening to it. But I think it's important. I think it's probably one of the more important podcasts that have come out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Mike Cosper, Christianity Today, doing a great job with that. And as we just think about that in different ways that maybe that seeped into our own lives or churches, things that we might want to root out. And yet, you know, as they've said throughout, I mean, I'm like, it's not like it was complete black and white. I mean, were there things that were done that people would say were impactful and helpful in their lives? They would. That's the complicated thing here, right?
So, make that point at the end.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. On a lighter note, I look forward to the final couple of podcasts that I missed. Again, it's called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill and the whole thing. Fantastic. But pretend to be a time traveler day. And the question we're asking on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page, and I should have started with you in this, and Christmas in your past would you want to travel back to? I'll let you think because you're just getting this for the first time. I'll say I would want to go back, I guess, to the Christmas of 1973. Now, I I'm reaching, but my grandma and grandpa were both still alive then. My grandpa died in August of 74 when I was 10, and I never knew my other grandfather. So to go back to be 9 years old and that last Christmas with grandma and grandpa, how about you?
Yeah, that's a good one. For me, I would say probably one of them in the late 70s. I don't know that I could pin one of them down when my grandmother would have all of the family together, all of her kids and all of her grandkids, which was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had 8 kids, 7 of whom were still alive when I was growing up, and they all had kids. So it was just this huge gathering, and I think I've been missing that connection with family. Mm-hmm. So that was, I think that's where I would go back to.
Very good.
Well, one came to mind. This was a long time ago. And I was, I think, in second or third grade, about 1960. I got a phone call from Santa. And he said, "You are a naughty boy, and you are getting nothing but coal for Christmas." And he said, "Ho, ho, ho," and he hung up. Well, I recognized the voice. It was one of my uncles, who was a prankster. So I went to my brother, my older brother, and I told him. And he said, "Well, let's go down in the basement." So we went down in the basement and found this gigantic box, huge, and filled it full of coal, wood, and old pots and pans. We are in Leona, Wisconsin. That's where we lived at the time. We burned coal to heat the house. And anyway, we carried it upstairs, wrapped it, put a bow on it, made it look real pretty, and then put "to this uncle from Santa," and put it by the tree. Well, when Christmas came along, you know, he came in and he said, "Wow, look it, I got the biggest present under the tree. Who gave this to me?" And he looked at it, and nobody knew, because I and my brother put it up there when we were the only ones home. And so we told him, "You should be the last one to open it, since you've got the biggest gift." "Oh, yeah, I'll do that." And so he opened it up, and he seen the coals in there and the wood chips and that. And he goes, who did this? This isn't funny." And, of course, we all laughed and about it. And I said to him, "Who did you get it from?" It's from Santa." And we all laughed. And so from that point on, he didn't try to pull any more jokes like that. Anyway, it was sort of funny, and I remember that from back then. And Mark and Sue and Kip, have a Merry Christmas.
All morning here, we've been talking about how it is Pretend to Be a Time Traveler Day, asking you to share some of your stories about, hey, what would you do? You know, would you go back, or what would you do for visiting a past Christmas? So we've got another one of those messages from our listeners up for you right now.
"Good morning, guys. This is Mike from La Crosse. Well, talking about this time traveler business reminds me of my favorite TV show, Doctor Who. So, if I could travel back in time to Christmas in my past, I think it would be 1984 when my family was still together. My parents are still alive, and my grandparents are still alive. We would go over to my grandparents and go to church, and then after church come back and have a big Christmas meal, and then we would go in the living room, light up the fire in the fireplace, and get the presents from under the tree and open them, and, you know, that was fun being together with my family and my cousins and everyone who... Some of them have passed away, and some I haven't seen in years. So, you know, that was a great time in my past, and, you know, I miss it and wish I could go back in time to those days. So that's what I would do if I could travel back in time to a Christmas in my past, to 1984. So God bless you guys, and have a Merry Christmas."
We've got another one of those updates from our listeners about, hey, what they would do if they were time-traveling Christmas for you right now.
I would love to go back to the years when I was a child, when everything in life was easy, and my mom was there. God was there in the world, and that's what we need again. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And we've heard from three listeners already. Good morning to Susan.
Good morning. Okay, I have to say the premise, if you have a time machine, I'm going to the future. I have to.
Okay.
Because I want to see any grandchildren I may have before I'm senile and decrepit.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I'm
she
going
takes
to the future.
And turns it out.
Just twist that knife on
Forget
the children.
That. I'm not doing the Back to the Future, Back to the Western days. I'm going to the future.
I'm going to the future.
All right,
and then
good.
I want a machine that exercises for me. So
yeah. Wow.
It's going to be a great Christmas, guys. Follow me.
Listeners are doing a great job jumping in on Pretend to Be a Time Traveler Day. And for most of us, we're saying, what Christmas in your past would you go back to? We look forward to other answers like Caleb's later in the half hour. But Susan went into the future, so
I went
hey,
to
wherever
the future.
You want to go, it's
oh,
a time travel mission.
Sure. I mean, I guess time traveling doesn't always
exactly.
mean going back. So.
I will see my grandchildren, and
yes.
I will have a machine that exercises for me.
Wow.
It's going to be great.
396-1670 or the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page on your Christmas station, WWIB, on a Wednesday morning. Well, we've asked you this morning on the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page and on the listener line at 715-396-1670 on this Pretend to Be a Time Traveler Day, December 8th. What Christmas in your past would you travel back to unless you want to change it and go to the future? Because it's a time machine, so why not? Be imaginative. I went back to the Christmas of 1973. It's the last Christmas my grandma and grandpa, my mom's parents, were here.
Mm-hmm.
That was one for me. You went ahead to the future, Susan.
I went to the future so I could meet whatever mm-hmm. grandchildren may happen and get a machine that exercises for myself.
Nice.
I will say that I am a little convicted by hearing these beautiful memories and like Mike from La Crosse talking about those sweet times with his parents and grandparents. And, you know, I expected to hear something sentimental from Phil. And he said, oh. And me, I said, what's your favorite Christmas from the past? 1964, I got a Bart Starr football.
There you go. That's pretty cool.
I'm so impressed that you guys can remember specific years.
He does. I don't.
That's great. I mean, and again, these memories are etched in my mind. I just don't remember what year it was. But again, I was born in 87, so I'm thinking this was mid-90s.
Yes.
And a Christmas in Iowa. So again, we always go to Harlan, Iowa. That's where my dad's parents are. And Grandpa and Grandma Swenson there in Harlan. And I remember one year because Grandma would love to, during the summer when we'd visit, give us the JCPenney catalog and have
yeah.
a circle
nice.
Of things
oh,
that would
find
all the different cousins. That was great.
I hadn't thought about that.
It was so much fun. And I don't remember if we circled this or if she just came up with it, but it was one of the best gifts ever for, you know, again, 8-9-year-old boy, whatever I was. She gave us and all of our cousins laser challenge. And so it was the little vests.
Oh, wow.
And you know, again, the little laser guns. It's
like
all
Action
safe.
City.
Yeah, and there's a little orange center circle on the chest plate. And so then, again, when you shoot the laser, it goes...
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so we turned off all
Home
the
run.
Lights downstairs in the basement, which has a concrete floor and old furniture and things like that, flipped the furniture over, and we battled for hours with laser challenge.
What?
Me and my cousins.
A
of course,
great gift.
Jeremy figured out that if you just cover the center chest plate with your arm, then no
Jeremy.
One could get you.
No fair, Jeremy.
He did the same when we had Nerf battles, too, and we thought we could keep him from cheating when we had laser challenge, but he still found a way.
I thought this was a gentleman's game.
I love Jeremy, though. But again, it's just, I don't remember what year it was, but just the hours and hours of fun, just good old fun, no digital, no TV, nothing
right.
like that, but just good old-fashioned playtime with the cousins. I appreciate my grandma so much for mm-hmm. one of many, many gifts that she gave us throughout the years. That's my most memorable Christmas. I'd love to go back.
Mm-hmm.
If I went back as my current age, and I'm not sure, do you go back as that age or as your current age?
It's your choice. There's two dials on the
because
machine.
Because I feel like I probably would like break a hip or pull a hammy or something like that.
You go back with the knowledge you have now, but you're that age. So that's
sure.
Weird.
And that's that laser game I'm bringing to the future. So I'll be an awesome grandma.
There you go.
Well, as much online shopping that takes place these days, more and more all the time, As people still go out to the brick-and-mortar mall and other places, it can be very challenging to find a good parking space. And so there are some parking space strategies we would like to suggest to you. In fact, there's apparently four of them. And
is this like a personality profile for parking?
Yeah, it is. One of those approaches is identified, it sounds like a game, right? Search and destroy. These are drivers who cruise the aisles of the parking lot looking for a parking space.
Oh, okay.
Like they got periscope depth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
How about lie in wait? Uh-huh. Yes, I've seen these people, and I hate to tell them, but I'm going to call my daughter and do a little texting before I get out of my space. Drivers who position themselves at the end of an aisle waiting for an opening. And I always, when I have someone waiting for an opening, I'm like, oh my word, I gotta hurry.
Right, right, right.
Four main parking space strategies here in the WIB Wake Up Show in this busy Christmas season. How about the see it and take it? That's a driver who simply takes the first space they see. Sure.
Man, that's Phil. We need more exercise.
Exactly.
It's across the street from the store, but who cares?
We've got to walk through a blizzard to get to the front door of Walmart, but it's okay.
The last one is undefined. It's just the stalker, the parking space stalker. But I got to say, forget the mall. I'm in downtown Eau Claire. There's a lot across from where I work at One Source Imaging. And yesterday, I don't know what it was, I was trying to, and somebody kind of beat me into the lot, and I thought, oh, I saw the one space.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, they went by it. And I'm like, thank you.
So wow.
I was able to get in
there.
And they were stormed by guilt and regret. It's like, oh, I took that nice man's parking space. Well, you know what? So many of you have been weighing in. We'd love to hear from more at 715-396-1670. So it's pretend you're a time traveler day. So we thought, well, if you could time travel back to any Christmas, and you could go forward too, but a lot of you saying, I'd like to go to this Christmas, revisit that Christmas. What would it be? We heard from Steve here on the WIB listener line, 715-396-1670. We'd love to have your voice chime in as well.
Hi, my name's Steve. I'm calling about if you could go back in time. I would have to say I would like to go back to like 1980. We lived in North Dakota. Our parents told my sister and I that things just weren't very good that year, so we couldn't get a Christmas tree. So my sister and I was like 9, she would have been 11. We went out in the field and we found the biggest tumbleweed we could find. We came back and we nailed boards on the bottom and we decorated that. That was our Christmas tree. And that was probably the best Christmas I ever had. Things are simpler, family stayed together, and it was just wonderful. God bless us in so many ways after that. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
One time, I had to teach my friend Kathy how to say, I'm sorry, but I just don't want to.
Mm.
I think she felt like she had to say yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that without praying about it first, you end up in a mess.
Yeah.
There are times when we make plans and we do just kind of want to get out of them, though.
Yeah, Richard Swenson from Menominee wrote a book called Margin, and he's
right.
Like, if you're asked to do 100 things, you're probably going to have to say no 90 times.
That's right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little article we found on the worst examples, worst excuses people made.
This is the opposite of just being truthful and saying, you know what?
It is the opposite.
I don't want to, I'm not able to, or tired, or whatever. This is when people are trying to save face,
yes.
I guess. And
you didn't learn how to say no. This is
didn't.
It's also the opposite of praying to God and saying, will you please change my heart? Give me the grace to keep this commitment. Not that I ever have to do that, but I do sometimes. So worst excuses ever heard for canceling plans here on the WIB Wake Up Show. Got a text which said, I'm looking after a friend because he's ill. Well, that friend was actually with me when I got the text.
Yeah, wow. Go ahead, Caleb.
Well, here's one that says, my friend bailed on our trip. They were going out west. And the night before, this friend said, yeah, she didn't know when we booked it that it was hot there. We're going like out to Nevada.
So, yeah.
Arizona.
Forget it, I'm not going. Yeah, right.
Pretty warm.
So here's the thing. Somebody said that on Reddit, they're saying that they actually were given the excuse, I can't because my grandma died. But the individual who received that said, but hold it, I went to both funerals for your grandma. So.
And they weren't recent, so yeah. I kind of know that's not.
Okay, this one, flair for the dramatic. I'm so glad it's my turn. I just started dating a guy when he called me to cancel our date for the night. He said, hey, I'm so sorry, but I can't go out tonight. My dad made soup, and I was eating some, but he forgot to take out the bay leaves, and I swallowed one. Oh, no, I feel it in my throat.
The end is the best of this, though.
She finishes with, it's all good. We're married now.
That's how she found the excuse. I'm surprised that that didn't just tank it.
She said, I will marry this man because I instantly know when he is lying.
Yeah, right. Worst excuses ever heard from canceling plans. This one person said, I heard this excuse. Sorry, I can't make it. I just don't want to go.
Okay.
Honestly, that's the best one.
That's yeah. the
you
best
know what?
One.
It's truthful.
Yeah. There's another one. You know what? I would, but I just ordered a pizza.
seems legitimate.
How about this? I'm about to get arrested.
Wow.
If they're good friends, they're going to say, I'll come bail you out.
I guess.
Don't say that.
Oh, goodness. And final, again, worst ever excuses for canceling plans that actually happened. Someone said, I don't think this is a bad excuse. I can't come. I've already put my comfy pants on. To me, that is honesty.
For Caleb, it would be, I just put on my MyPillow slippers.
I just put on my slippers.
I pair those with comfy pants and blankets and books and snacks.
You know how to live.
Well, we're winding down the year and various stories tying in with that, including this one, some of the most mispronounced words of 2021. And the list starts off, Susan, with a word you introduced us to a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Chuggy.
I don't know if we would have known this without Susan.
Well, you guys got the inside scoop. It's a trendy term popularized by Gen Z, and it's used to mock an outdated and unfashionable aesthetic typically associated with millennials, such as side parts.
Mm-hmm. Here's the
jeans.
Thing. I mean, because there's all the, you know, again, not polite, but the okay boomer and things like that. Yeah. But now, we millennials are just getting it with both barrels from Gen Z. So I guess what goes around comes
live,
around.
Live, laugh, and love, babe.
Oh, dear.
Caleb, you said you do recognize that maybe there's some mispronunciation of this next one.
Chipotle. So the American fast food chain became the center of a viral trend this year, challenging baby boomers to pronounce the name. I never saw that trend, but I do remember, again, my wonderful roommate Nick in college, his mom took us to Chipotle, and I cannot remember quite how she butchered it, and I didn't really care because the Chipotle was free, but I do remember she really struggled pronouncing it. So
this one can kind of throw you off. It's spelled D-A-L-G-O-N-A, but it's pronounced Talgona.
Talgona.
Tricky.
Talgona. Thank you. A Korean treat made with melted sugar and baking soda popularized in Netflix's Squid Game. So
have not seen it. But that does sound pretty tasty.
We did it this last summer. It was a TikTok coffee, instant coffee thing. Talgona coffee. Huh. How about Eilish? The singer Billie Eilish, whose album Happier Than Ever was released this year to critical acclaim and nominated for Grammy Awards. Eilish.
You know, someone sent us a Facebook message the other day taking us to task for only playing a portion of that song. And I was like, Merry Christmas. I think you have the wrong station, but feel free to tune in.
Yeah, right.
Did we do this one yet?
No.
Some popular names that are often mispronounced. How about Dogecoin?
Uh-huh.
A divisive cryptocurrency that began somewhat ironically before being popularized by who else? Elon Musk, causing its value to dramatically increase.
Right.
This next one I'm sure I would have mispronounced. It's Ethereum, another cryptocurrency that skyrocketed in value this year amid the decentralized currency boom. I probably would have pronounced it Ethereum, but Ethereum.
Ethereum.
How about Glasgow? The host city of November's United Nations Climate Conference was mispronounced by both President Joe Biden and former President Barack Obama. One of those referred to the Emerald Isle and associated with Glasgow, which is, of course, Ireland, but Glasgow in Scotland.
I'll do one more here. So remember when that big ship was blocking the Suez Canal in March for a really long time, and it literally cost billions of dollars in lost trade? Well, it's the Ever Given, but many newscasters mistook the name of the ship as Evergreen, the name of the company that owns the vessel, which was printed on its hull. So it's not hard to pronounce Ever Given, but they called it the Evergreen, which I guess ties in if it had blocked during Christmas.
There you go. Some of the most mispronounced words of 2021, setting you straight for the new year.